Grace, greeting, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 6th of May. I'm your host, Paul White. We begin a brand new week. I hope that you have availed yourself the opportunity to listen or watch our full-length sermon from yesterday. We post those on Sunday to our podcast platform and on YouTube and Facebook, all the other places. This particular message kicked off a Good Friday weekend in Hogansville, Georgia, at the Grace Covenant Worship Center with Pastor Alex Montgomery, and he had invited me to do Friday night, Saturday morning. I was there with my good friends, Obe and Amber Brown. They did the music, and then I shared the word. This sermon that aired yesterday, so it's up now that you can go find it, was called The Cross as a New Exodus, and it looks at the cross not just as the place where your sins were taken care of, but also as the place that you and I were ushered into a new world. We were taken out of one kingdom and brought into a new kingdom. Next Sunday morning, I'll say this now lest I forget, next Sunday, our sermon that we'll post is the second service of those Good Friday services, and that one is entitled When He Was on the Cross, and we walk through several things that were actually happening at Calvary when Jesus was dying at Calvary. And we go into three specific things and build our sermon around those three things. And I had a lot of fun preaching that message. I think you'll enjoy that. It's quite lengthy, and it's next Sunday on our platforms. And then we'll air the Easter edition of that weekend from Flowery Branch, Georgia, with our group. We'll air that the next week. So that's what you have to look forward to as we proceed into the month of May. I get to come off the road now. We have finished our conference in Goldsboro, North Carolina. I get to come off the road and rest. My next trip is a personal trip. I go get my son. I'm so excited. I go get him in Nebraska and bring him home for the summer. He'll be home for nearly 3 months. He is going to play in the Sun Belt League in the South here in Georgia. The Atlanta metro area has 6 college woodbat teams in a league, and Lucas has been invited to play with one of those teams out of Alpharetta, Georgia. So I get to watch a lot of baseball this summer. I'm excited about that. Lauren just finished her spring production of Footloose, and she is very excited about a summer of nothing to do. She has a couple more weeks of school, and then she will be chilling out and enjoying her summer. And then my wife will be done with school. She's an aide in a kindergarten class. She will be done very soon as well, and she is excited about a summer of rest. I don't have a lot on the calendar this summer, which means I have some open spots, and there are churches and pastors that have talked about bringing us in, so I'll let you know if we add some things to the calendar, but we're certainly doing our Tuesday nights in Flowery Branch, and we're doing our once-a-month meetings. We are setting those up even as we speak. Okay, Ruth chapter 1. I did all of that announcing today because today's lesson is really going to take us up to the famous little song of Ruth, this poetic passage of verses 16 and 17. So I want to take you from where we stopped yesterday in somewhere around verse 9 and up until at least the 14th, 15th verse. The Lord grant, this is Naomi talking to her daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah. Remember, Moabitess girls that had married her Hebrew sons, the sons have died, and they are now heading back to Bethlehem because the famine is over. And she says to them, the Lord grant each of you to find rest, each in the house of her husband. That would mean she's praying that they go find husbands because they don't have husbands. Her sons were their husbands. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept, and they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I'm too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they're grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. There's a couple of important things here. First of all, hey, don't come back with me. I don't have any boys to give you. Even if you waited around and I found a husband, had a son, I'd have to have two boys. They'd have to grow up. You don't have that kind of time. You only have a birthing window that is so wide. Why are you coming back with me? I'm sorry, for your sakes, the hand of the Lord's gone out against me. That's a phrase that's pretty familiar to Israel. If you read Judges, right after Joshua dies in Judges chapter 2, the children of Israel go crazy, start doing evil, and all kinds of bad thing happens. The Lord delivers them into the hands of plunderers, the Bible says, and sells them to their enemies. Judges 2:15, wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. And how that happens is that God gives them over to their enemies. And so Naomi feels that that's happened. This is our first indication that she really feels that she's being judged, at least her family's being judged, for maybe not only for leaving Israel during the famine, but for marrying these Moabitess women. And I think there's a hint in this when Naomi says to Ruth and Orpah, you don't want to come back with me. I think the hint there is, please don't come back with me. You are a reminder that we went into Moab and a reminder that we married strange wives and you're not going to be accepted. And I think there's a lot of truth to the idea that Naomi realizes that the people of God in Israel are not going to accept these Moabitess women. They're not even allowed to come into the tabernacle to worship or to offer sacrifice. They're strangers. So they lift up their voices and wept again, verse 14. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. That leads us up to that famous Ruth moment. So what we see is that Orpah kisses her. That kiss is a departure. So Orpah's going back to Moab. Ruth clings to her. She refuses to go back. And that will introduce us for the first time in the story to the actual speaking of Ruth. We get 15 verses where we don't hear from Ruth. And then in the 16th verse, boy, do we ever. And I want to spend some time over the next couple of days with Ruth's poem, that 16th and 17th verses, because there's a determination in it that is so beautiful, and I don't want to miss any of it. We'll get into that tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.